Welcome back to the Infinitely More podcast. Today, I have the privilege and blessing to be joined by Senior Pastor Jeff Bogue, Campus Pastor Dan Gregory, myself, Nick Wiersbicki, and Rick Scavuzzo. Today, we get to talk a little bit about what God has done through the mission and movement of grace and through your guys' lives and your ministry. We get to look back a little bit on 30 and 30 and the ways God has been moving and highlight all those stories. So Dan, you're kind of the guest for today. So if you could just give us a little history of who you are and your role in grace in 30 and 30.
Sure, yeah. Well, I've been here for 17 years. Before we got here, I was involved in church planting. Mm. So we had planted a church in Indiana, my wife and I, her name's Jennifer. And we started in a little double-wide trailer, so I cut my teeth doing that. Yeah. And then through a series of events, connected with Jeff, and I had the opportunity to come and be a part here. We first came here, we came to basically lead the Norton campus because Bath had begun to explode, and so Jeff's attention needed to be at Bath, and then Pastor Bob was also leading at the Norton campus and was looking at retirement. So when I first came to Norton, it was basically following Pastor Bob and Pastor Jeff at the Norton campus and to lead that campus. And so that's how the role began.
Yeah.
I would say the role has evolved in that, you know, I get the opportunity to be an available coach and get to applaud a lot of young leaders. And so I love that opportunity that I get to do in the movement. So I meet with a lot of the young pastors and leaders and get to be in a lot of those conversations and absolutely love what I get to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff, if you want to add anything on like what your relationship with Dan has been, how like critical that's been to God moving here.
Yeah. So we've known each other a long, long time. So Dan is, older than me significantly, like dramatically. You guys probably tell. But
that hurts, man.
Yeah. So Dan, I think you were in seminary when I was in college, probably. But in college, I was an RA. I was a resident assistant, and Dan would have been in what was called an RD, a resident director. And so he was my boss there. And dealt with some of my orneriness. Dan has the distinction of he suspended me from college for a week because of a very inappropriate but wildly hilarious practical joke that I played, and you were laughing as you suspended me because it was
true
funny.
True story.
So we had known each other since way back then, and then Dan went into pastoring there in Indiana in the Charis Fellowship, which is the international network that Grace networks with. Yeah. I came here to Norton. So we knew each other through those networks a little bit. We were making those transitions. So at the time at Norton, Pastor Bob was stepping into retirement. I was becoming the senior pastor. But at Norton, Pastor Bob was preaching two services, I think, that were traditional. And then I was in the gym at Norton preaching two services that were contemporary. Mm-hmm. I was driving back and forth from Bath. So that's where Dan's like, I had to transition, in essence, two senior pastors at once. Mm-hmm. So he had to connect with the people from the traditional services and then connect with the people from the contemporary ones. Mm-hmm. And he did an amazing job doing that. But as we were talking about it, like when I was out in Columbia City and we're talking about you and Jennifer and the kids coming over, taking over the Norton campus was, so to say, like a practical matter, but the dream was to start planting churches together. Mm-hmm. And so the Grace Church way is we pastor locally, like love people, like care for you guys, like individually in your families, we pastor locally. And then in the margins, so to say, we plant new campuses, raise up leaders. So like Dan and I and all of our campus pastors are local pastors first. Yep. And then we're kind of movement leaders after that. So we dreamt a lot. I knew Dan well enough then. I know Dan extremely well now, but I knew him well enough then to like feel confident in his ability to pastor. In fact, it was my idea to bring you here because Pastor Bob is so unique that I'm like, it's going to take an amazing leader to step into his shoes, and then you kind of have to deal with my shoes. I'm like, this is a complicated thing. Yeah. And I remember in the hallway of the Norton campus after an elders meeting one night, I said to Pastor Bob, I said, you know, if we could get Dan Gregory to come here, and Bob, if you know him, he like lit up, you know, that's amazing, you know, kind of thing. So we started talking, and we started talking about, of course, the Norton campus, because that's the people, and loving them is the priority of all things. So we're talking about that. And then we started dreaming about, could we plant churches? Could we raise leaders up? And I think those two things is what locked into your heart a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that was 17 years ago. And at the time, you know, Pastor Bob and I had a long, super long relationship and lots of trust. But I would also say we were trying to figure out the multi-campus thing. Because we talked seriously about, do we just spin the churches off and become two autonomous churches? Because it is way more difficult to plant campuses than it is just to grow a church. Like two, three x more difficult. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. Yeah. But in the long run, you wind up with something much stronger. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easier to build with a 2x4 than it is a piece of steel. But that steel does something completely different, you know? So we had to figure that out. And it not in a relational way. I think we've always loved and trusted each other, and that some of that was tested through some crisis that we went through. But we landed like, no, we love and trust each other. Like we're like that, but like we went through a couple crises where it's like it's only because we trust each other that we're still doing this. Yeah. But then we kind of started figuring the multiple campus piece out. Together from
there. I remember sitting in that restaurant, in that booth together, and we were having that conversation together. What are we going to do? And I remember saying to you, I came here so that we could partner together. And I remember we kind of left that booth saying that's what the dream was, to leverage our togetherness and maximize our independence. Yeah. And man, am I glad? I'm glad we did that. Yeah.
I forget what it was now. It was some staff retreat or something that we had, and I remember after that conversation, going with all the fellas, and I'm like, "This is where Dan and I are at. Are you guys all in this with us?" And they said yes. You remember that? And I said, "We're never raising this question again. Mm-hmm. Like you can't, because it is hard.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And it's costly, if financially, emotionally, all the rest. And we're like, so." We're done. Yeah. This is who we are. This is what we're doing. Now, the way we do it changes and should keep changing, but the movement of grace, or what the nickname is 30 and 30, that's like not a conversation anymore. Yeah. But we had to decide that.
Yep.
That was not something we just fell into. That was a decision we made, and it was like I said, Dan, I don't think you and I have even ever had a disagreement over the years, but we had to like choose to put that level of like 100% trust, where you kind of go from like, I like you, we work fine together, to like, you go down, I go down, bud, like kind of a thing. It's a different level of it, so. Yeah.
Every football season, we do a small disagreement.
Yeah, that's right. One Saturday a year, we don't speak to each other.
Yeah. What really stuck out to me there is like, to protect unity is harder, right? Mm-hmm. And like that's something that in like the modern culture, we're facing a lot of disunity in like the modern culture church, in a broader perspective outside of just Grace Church. And the fact that, like, you guys said, yes, I want to double down and I want to bring unity and we want to work on this together, knowing it would be harder, but the fruit of it would be, you know, more than we can imagine. And I'm thankful for that because I've been a beneficiary of that through Akron East and stuff like that. But, Dan, I want to kind of ask you, and Jeff, you can chime in on this as well, throughout your years of saying yes, mm-hmm. right, and stepping into this role. How have you seen God move through that?
Oh, wow. Oh, my. You know, probably from the time like I've gotten here, I could probably lay 1,001 stories. Getting here was God moving. Mm. If I'm honest, I mean, when they called me, I wasn't looking.
Yeah.
And then when Jeff and I started talking, it's like, well, that's what I want to be a part of. Mm. And then, so it's one thing to say you want to be a part of it, but to watch God bring it to fruition has been amazing. Mm. And then when I came, pretty immediately, I mean, we used to kind of chuckle about it, but immediately there were challenges, like lots of big challenges. And
massive challenges.
And I remember one of those challenges, we went through some different challenges together, and then our building caught on fire.
What?
Yeah. And so Jeff and I actually have a picture. We're standing out in the parking lot, flames coming up out of the auditorium. And one thing I do remember Pastor Bob saying at that time, he said, I wonder what God's up to. Mm. And, you know, I look back at that, and this was a really inconvenient circumstance. Yeah. Like, it was smoke throughout the whole building, and we had to relocate. But it's been amazing for me to watch God work. Sometimes our inconvenience is his great opportunity. And I would say, looking back, for the Norton campus in particular, that was a transformative time. It transformed us. It melded us together in unique ways. And so, you know, saw God do some incredible things there. And then when I think of the young leaders that you see growing up here at Grace Church, and you watch them get a hold of Christ, you sit and talk to them, you watch them get a hold of Christ, and then you watch them go out and they start lifting a little ministry weight, right? They're like, I'm not sure I can do that. And the more they lift, for me is like one of my favorite things, if I'm honest. And then to be able to applaud them, I love. And then be able to offer coaching when that's what they need is something that I love. So here at Grace, lives are being transformed. People are coming to Christ. Like, you can't get excited about that. You might be dead, right? And God's working in ways, like we plan and we put all these things together. I think, Nick, for me, the thing is God works through all that and then beyond that.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Or I think of our County Line campus. Like, we weren't out looking for a campus. I think I might have been Pastor Bob. It was like, hey, there's this church building out there, you know, that's
funny stories around that.
Open. And now you look at that vibrant congregation out there, and you're like, wow, that wasn't there 17 years ago. And so for me, it's just like there's story after story after story like that. And then to see people's faith being growing in the midst of them taking steps they never thought they'd take is pretty fun to be a part of. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I want to touch on one thing. If you could give a message to maybe someone listening right now that in their personal life are feeling those trials, mm-hmm. and might be asking the question of what is God up to, what advice would you give them?
Well, my advice would be this. I maybe would go threefold with them. I would say, you're going through a tough time. You can count on the fact God's paying attention, even if he's silent right now. Mm-hmm. Trust his presence. You can keep going on, even when you're not sure what's going on, mm-hmm. because you know he's working. Mm-hmm. He's doing something, even if you don't know what it is. He's either pruning something out of you, producing something in you, or he's preparing something around you.
Yeah.
And the third thing I would say is, keep hanging on because his timing's impeccable. Mm. And sometimes that's where I can get frustrated, right? I have a time, like I want it now. I want to do this. Even with our camp, you know, there's certain things, his timing's impeccable. And so I think that's what I'd say to somebody if they were struggling.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff, like for you as well, like since saying yes and pairing up with Dan and tacking this head on and through all the trials, like what are the things that like, if you had to pick a few things that you're like, this is really stood out, like the way God has moved, mm-hmm. What would those things be?
I think God moves through difficulty. So I might say this, when you face a difficulty and you have a teammate, mm-hmm. It could be marriage. It could be, you know, working together like Dan and I do, or mm-hmm. your family, whatever it is. A trial can divide you, or it can weld you together. Mm-hmm. And I think we have decided at Grace Church that that's the what we want God to do is the mm-hmm. the harder the thing, the stronger the bond becomes. And when I look at all of our campus pastors and our staff around, everything we do is built on trust. We're a low control, high ministry environment. If you had a manager from a Fortune 500 company come in here and see the way that Dan and I run the whole team, they'd be like, "You guys are nuts."
Yeah.
And people will tell me all the time, they'll be like, "What if a pastor freaked out? What if they took? What if they?" And I was like, "Right, that's the risk you take." Mm-hmm. Or you can look and say, this is a Christian brother. And I told a group, Rick and I lead a small group together with leaders. And I told him, I said, the hardest thing you'll ever do is plant a church.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've just seen that happen more and more. And mm-hmm. what goes from an idea or a theory becoming a reality, and then to actually see, I think that what's fun for me is actually see godly people be godly, mm-hmm. to actually prefer someone else, to actually sacrifice, mm-hmm. to actually invest in people.
Yeah.
So that's what you want as a pastor. That's what you need in a staff. And then I see it in our congregation. Mm-hmm. So like when I'll just use Akron East where you're at as an example. So Akron East, you know, I think, I don't know, 150 people-ish, Rick, you're the numbers guy, probably left Bath, some left Norton, some went from Barberton. Well, you're leaving your friends, you're leaving your connections.
Yeah.
It takes a ton of money, you know, so you're it's like your church experience is going to be less than it used to be, and you got to pay for it. Yeah. It's a terrible deal, right?
Yeah.
But to see people who are like, no, we want to reach people. Like, we love people in our neighborhood. We love people on that side of town. And, I mean, it is just the most wonderful thing. Like, I just, when you get to, I could get emotional about it. When you go from, like, God puts something on your heart that you have to do regardless. Mm-hmm. And that transforms into thousands of people who are like, I'll do it with you. Mm-hmm. It's just powerful, and it's wonderful. Yeah. So I've seen God work in that way. Like, we pray a lot, especially when we're launching something like that. We pray a lot for the unity of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we're just like, Lord, it's your church. We're your people. You, the Holy Spirit, can unify us.
Yeah.
And I like to say that the secret sauce of Grace Church is every time the Lord has asked the church for something, the people of the church have said yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's the 30 and 30 thing. Mm-hmm. It's not like when Dan and Jennifer came over, it wasn't like, you want to build an empire, you know, you want to make a brand. It was like, you want to do New Testament stuff, mm-hmm. and try to help people not go to hell.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm in. Yeah. Well, now there's so many of us in the church family, and corporately, we're like, yeah, we're in on that.
Yeah.
You know, we keep doing it again and again. So that is a powerful thing. It has brought me great joy, and it's something that God has to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not like charismatic leadership stuff. It's deeper than that, mm-hmm. and it's an amazing privilege to be a part of it.
Yeah, I just, when people come to me and ask, what is it like to be a part of like Grace Church, or the like, what's your church like? I really don't know how to explain it to them, because it's like, we're part of this bigger thing, but we're all invested right here, but we're willing to go help out the teammate. And it's like, they're like, that sounds like what the body of Christ is supposed to be like.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful, especially in today's day, to be a part of a church like that and on a mission that is large. It's all, like you said, that self-sacrifice of like, yeah, this does not make any sense for me.
It's the way... You know, the church of God is also the family of God, mm-hmm. right? It's one of the ways that the Bible describes it. It's the way a healthy family works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We both have, all of us have, actually, except you, Nick. You have no children, but the rest of us have, we have adult children, but it's the way I function with my adult children. Mm-hmm. Like, I have my own home and my own building that I need to maintain and work on, and mm-hmm. but I really enjoy helping the kids with theirs.
Yeah.
And they have their own home, and they will also come and help me,
yeah.
and we will invest back and forth, and we live kind of autonomous lives, mm-hmm. but we're also ingrained in each other,
yeah.
and everybody knows who you make the emergency phone call to. Like you,
yeah.
you get, so it's, Grace mm-hmm. is a, we're not perfect by a long shot, and I don't think we discovered the only way to do church. It's just our way.
Yeah.
So it's like our family, and like how the Bogue family would have like a personality, or the Gregory family would have like a personality to it. These guys are going to play football on Thanksgiving. We're going to watch Star Wars. Like we're different families.
Yeah.
But in a healthy family, you are involved in a loving way in each other's lives. You're not controlling.
Yeah.
But when there's an emergency or a mission, everybody's up, and there's a joy that comes from it, you know, and you stop. My third son, Micah, and his wife, Joy, had a baby here a few months ago. Mm-hmm. Micah had this goal of, like, having his basement, like, remodeled, mm-hmm. and Heidi and I have been helping him with it. Well, I was remodeling mine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we stopped mm-hmm. ours mm-hmm. because a baby's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so you jump mm-hmm. the line.
Yeah.
It's that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's what it's like to be a part of Grace.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and it's a beautiful thing. And then we got our warts
yeah.
too.
But I like the fact that it's hard to describe
yeah.
and that the primary thing you go to is the relational. Because I was thinking that when you're talking, it's like
good.
Family. There's structure to it, and there's but it's relationships, it's trust, and
yeah.
and we have a flavor, and it's not, we're not the only way to do family,
yep.
but somebody needs something, we're running, and you know, we're there. And so I love that that's the primary thing that describes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rick, like Jeff talked about, he said the hardest thing you'll do is plant a church, and like mm-hmm. your whole role is to kind of be like in all of that.
Yeah. yeah.
Every time we do it.
You're in charge, Rick.
The hardest thing, yeah, you got that.
Yeah.
But what has that been like for you? Because you said yes to this, and what has that been like since you said yes?
Yeah, it's been incredible just to see God's hand at work. You know, I have the privilege of working with Jeff and Dan and the other campus pastors to start new campuses and help plant churches, and it's just been incredible.
Mm.
I mean, every aspect of it.
Mm.
When we're searching for a leader, and God moves in the heart of a young guy to raise his hand and take on the task of doing the really hard thing of planning a church, you know, and then people join him on staff, and a congregation begins to form. Buildings are given to us. I don't know how many buildings we've been given over the past, you know, 10 years. It's incredible. And, but just one thing after another. I often say, if I wrote down the history of those kind of things that God has done as the campuses have, you know, been planted and grown, it would read like an Old Testament book
mm-hmm.
where God did this amazing thing and then that miracle happened and then this mm-hmm. person, you know, stood up and sacrificed like Jeff described. It's just, it's incredible to see God at work.
Yeah, and it's cool for me, like not that long ago I was the, mm-hmm. you know, the person showing up and now like mm-hmm. being on staff and being like part of it to watch how Spirit-led it is,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like mm-hmm. obviously we work our butts off, mm-hmm. but we're under submission of the Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And being led there. And like Rick, some of my favorite moments have been after we wrap up a meeting, we look at you have a map in your office, and we're like, wouldn't it be cool if we got a campus there? Like think about all the people that would need a campus right there, how many people we can impact right here. And so as like we look back and see how God has already worked with you know, we've been faithful with the amount that he's given, and like we continue to look of like, here, we're ready to go. And tying into what you guys talked about earlier of like young leaders, you feel very passionate about that, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
As we look towards the future, you guys have made a serious investment into like young leaders, which will probably be its whole own episode of this eventually. But if you want to say a little bit, like, why the investment on young leaders?
Well, if you're asking me that question, I think the future and the vitality of where we're heading is dependent on it. Second of all, I was a young leader planting a church, and I had trouble finding somebody that would invest in me. And so some of my passion, I think, comes out of an experience of depletion when I first started. And I remember thinking to myself, man, this feels backwards. And so when I was just with a young leader this morning, and he was, you know, saying to me, you know, maybe someday I could plant a campus. Do you think I could? And I think it's easy to look at young people and think about their youth and not dream with them. And I wanted to be a young guy that somebody dreamed with and applaud it. And he said, you know, I don't think I could carry the weight you're carrying right now. And I said, you can't yet. Right? But if you lift the weight, you eventually can. And so I think about the fact that all through the scriptures, there's young people that God is calling out. And why would I not want to join the mission of God's heart in calling young people out, giving them opportunity? They're going to stub their toe. They're going to swing and miss. We have plenty of times. I got lots of stories. And I want to be in the crowd of people that's applauding them, that's praying for them. I think sometimes people struggle unleashing young leaders because they're afraid it's going to take something from them. And I don't, you know, I know Jeff and I are of the same heart in here. I want to go out giving everything I have away to them. Because here at Grace, we have some incredibly gifted young people. And I say this all the time. They know more than I knew at their age. They're more gifted than I was at their age. And I get excited about that. All they need is some experience, seasoning, wisdom that will believe in them, coach them, applaud them, pray for them. And so for me, I get excited about what God wants to do well beyond. He and I will be in the grave. The three of us will be gone. And I think Grace's best days are probably somewhere after that as these young leaders take off with what God wants them to do.
That's awesome. Yeah, Jeff, do you want to add anything to that?
They're the future of the movement, and so that Grace is built to be a 300 to 500 year movement, which is probably its own episode. So we'll go too deep into that. But the most valuable thing we have, and the most important thing we do, is passing the faith from generation to generation. Buildings will come and go. When you ask that question, I think 7 of our 10 locations are in buildings that were given to us. That's the least of our problems. It's the leadership. And if you don't take the truth and entrust it to reliable people, then the gospel doesn't move forward. So that's why we do it. I also would just say it's the biblical model. And so Grace, there's more than one way to live the Bible out with fidelity, like to do it with authenticity. Our way of doing it is raising up young leaders and doing 30 and 30, and that's the Acts model. And then what I would say, my experience was actually the opposite of Dan's. I had an old leader that poured into me. Pastor Bob Combs poured into me like crazy, and so I have the other experience of, like, I know exactly what this is like and how valuable Bob saved me from so much pain and advanced my knowledge with his wisdom. And he spoke vision into me. I remember being here a couple years. He's like, you could totally be a senior pastor. He would have thought of me going off and planting a church at the time. And then he entrusted me with things that, you know, I tease him about it, but I'm like, what were you thinking? He's like, I believed in you the whole time, you know, kind of thing. So I'm like, I see the power of that, where, like, when we look at these young men and women, we're like, no, God can use you in powerful ways. And what we're able to do because the church is larger now, is we're able to train them and give them environments that are low risk but high return, internships or residency. When they graduate, if they came in as a an intern and graduated as a resident, they're going to be about 25-ish. Where they're at 25, they're 10 years ahead of me, because we were able to utilize the resources of of the church to help them with it. And then they are in ministry all over the place, mostly here at Grace, but other churches too. And so it's a good thing. What I say when, like, when we're raising money for interns or residents or whatever, I'm like, if you need if you needed oak wood, if you're going to build oak furniture, then you have to plant oak trees, and oak trees take a long time to grow. So if we need them in 10 years, we have to plant them today. That makes sense. And so I, this is, to me, is another place where the people of Grace Church have been incredible, because we cast that vision probably 10, 12 years ago. I'd have to look, but something like that. And they were like, that totally makes sense. We will make an investment that won't pay off for a long time. Because we want to see the gospel move forward. So that's why we do it. And and there's benefits all over the place, but it's... The early church raised up and sent out leaders, and that, that's how the gospel moved from Jerusalem to Akron. You know, over a couple of millennial, is it just the kingdom moves on? There's not a local church in the Bible that's still open, but the church of Jesus is bigger and broader and more effective than it's ever been ever. You know, so you, it's just looking at those right elements of what we're doing. Buildings are necessities. You know, it's cold outside. They're necessities. They're not trophies. They're tools. The people are the trophies. Like, man, look what God can is doing through that guy. Look how God's using that young lady, and look what God's doing over here. That's the important part of it.
It's awesome. And you know, I think I'd like to highlight the fact that, you know, I'm the 3 month intern in and like getting to do this with you guys. So just a testament, it's not about just saying it, but like actually walking the walk with
But it's also fun, Nick, because this all was your idea. See, that's what I mean. Like, there, it's a fun dining. You got a bunch of old guys sit down with you, you know. And but I'm like, it's a fun thing to be a part of, and I think it's the family of God stuff playing out.
So. You know, I think a lot of times about the United States in the Olympics. In recent years has not traditionally been good in the relay. And the reason that they haven't traditionally been good in the relay is they can't figure the baton toss, the exchange off. And I think about that. We could be a fast church and just get to the finish line, right? And there's, you could do that. Or we could be a church that figures out how to do the baton handoff. And that's what we want to be. Because, we, like he said, 300-500 years. And so that's why you want to do it, right? You got to make sure you're intentional about it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Dan, I think God has gifted you with the mind of sports. You can always bring it back to sports. But yeah, so for all three of you, I'd like to take a quick second and highlight more recently, because I obviously we've been looking over the history over the past however many years, but more recently, how have you been seeing the ministry that you're pouring into right now? How have you seen life change right now today? Rick, if you want to start us off.
Yeah, I'd probably start with the fact that we're starting a new campus in Stark County called the Stark North Campus. And like I had mentioned before, you know, just to have seen God work through work in so many ways to bring that about. Aaron Key, young pastor that's going to be the campus pastor there, like his story is an example where he felt God call, and suddenly there was an opportunity of building became available, and people began raising their hands with a willingness to go. It was amazing to see that.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of things come to my mind, Nick, when I think about what God is doing in some of our different campuses. That's exciting for me to think about. County Line and Barberton, you know, they're baptizing people. People are coming to Christ. Love that. you know, but where my mind went when you said that is this, like I think of what God is doing. I really think the secret sauce, as he said, is people who, their name is David, and he came to church because he just met his mom there, and God met him there, and he gave his life to Christ, and now he stands at the door, and he's the most eager person to welcome people on a Sunday. Or I think of a little girl named Jenna at our campus, and she got it. Like, she got it. She's, like, literally in the third grade, and she invited her friend to Bible camp. Wow. And her friend, unchurched, said yes to Jesus. Wow. And then we started an impact club in our elementary school.
Yeah.
And that little girl comes with Jenna to that impact club. And her mom called Jenna's mom one day and said, my daughter is out back playing teacher, and she's teaching the ABCs on how to say yes to Jesus.
What?
Can we talk? That to me is the fun stuff. Awesome. It's in stories like that multiplied. Mm. And I think that's when the contagion, and it's stuff we don't even know.
Yeah.
But I think when God's people's lives start transforming and then they just start sharing that, I love that stuff. I just absolutely love those kind of stories.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know where to stop talking. I think of a friend we've been praying for over a decade that he would accept Jesus, and he just did.
Wow.
And his wife did years ago, and we've just been praying, and that's actually through our County Line campus.
Wow.
So God used that in that way. I think of people being baptized and young adults, our youth ministry, like just what God is doing there. It's incredible that the average number of people 24 years old in the average church in North America is a zero. Mm. And we're like flooded.
Yeah.
And so like God is, it's a gift. It's a responsibility. Mm. And it's just amazing. And watch your generation, young adults, just like sharing their faith,
yeah.
Bible studies on campuses, I mean, it's just incredible stuff. I'm old enough now that I've gotten to watch a generation grow up here.
Mm.
So Dan actually was with me, and we were interviewing interns in the spring, and we interviewed these three in a row, we're like, what do you want to do? They're like, we want to launch a campus. What do you want to do? We want to launch a campus. And the third one's like, what do you want to do? We want to launch a campus. And we're like, aren't you guys all friends? And they're like, yeah. He's going to be the senior pastor. I'm going to be the worship leader. She's going to be the children's director. And then and it was a fourth girl, and she's like, she's going to run sports. And I'm like, you guys dream that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you dream that stuff. And then they're like, and we'll bypass normal education. Like, yeah. We're not just dreaming it. We're, like, doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's amazing that, like, these are the people of God who are like, we're in.
Yeah.
And we'll like orient our life toward this. This is what we dream about, want to do. And so that stuff is just like beyond thrilling. And it's not because they're like Grace Church junkies. They're Jesus people. Yeah. And they're like, and we understand how God is having Grace Church do this. So we kind of know how to do that.
Yeah.
And we want to do that. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's just amazing. So mm-hmm. I can sit here for the rest of the year talking these stories, but it's amazing. This is what I love. If you ask most pastors what's going on in their life, they'll tell you about the problems at their church and their personal depression.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask us like what's going on in our life, we got problems at our church and we all get discouraged.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to, like, when you're like, what are these things? I was sitting here, while these guys were thinking, I'm, like, editing in my head. I'm like, what don't I say about God's goodness and what he's doing and how he's working? So it's a real, real privilege to do it, and it's a real, real privilege to be surrounded by the people of grace who, this is not, like, Rick, Jeff, and Dan's life mission. This is like we are doing this, and it's a powerful thing.
Yeah, yeah. I want to give testimony a little bit of like, I don't know if you guys even know this, but like last year, or actually beginning of this year, really, after I did the response event where we hosted a few hundred high school students showed up for a revival event that our group of high schoolers prayed about for 5 months. And, you know, everyone came to us saying that was the first time I've felt the presence of the Lord wow. in a miraculous way. And I learned about this recently. It's like, if you do a really good job, everyone gives credit to God. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was like, that's right. I did the teaching that night and there's great worship and all this stuff. And no one said a single thing about it. Now, we did a few events later and everyone was like, the teaching was great, the worship was great. And not as many people were saying, oh, well, the presence of God was here. Mm-hmm. And we didn't pray about those events as much. And so what I took away from that was like, when you pray about something, mm-hmm. how much it radically change and how much God shows up and honors that. And the other thing is like, this is the part that I don't know if you guys know, like that next Sunday, I taught on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and on surrender. Mm. And it's funny enough, that Sunday, Ryan was teaching on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he actually invited me up during his sermon to talk and give like a little highlight on how God's been working for the generation and my thoughts on everything. Again, I'm the 18-year-old kid at that point, and you know, our campus pastor with, you know, 300 people at our church is letting me speak in front of everyone. And the fruit of that has been amazing. I have these people come up to me at our campus, and it's just, you know, I somehow get to pour into them, and it's so cool. And the same thing with Momentum, like those opportunities there, like there's still kids, I'm still getting direct messages on Instagram today of people being like, I had this God dream and I remember you gave that talk at Momentum, can you help me? And I get to walk with them, and now people are putting more content out there on in some of the darkest areas in the world for God's name to be known, right? And so I think about all that, and I'm just like you guys said, the investment of like offering, like in our current culture and generation, so much is because of social media and whatever, there's so much sand, right? Mm. There's nothing sturdy. And so when you offer the rock, people will just cling on to it. And that's what you guys are doing, is offering the rock and our generation just clinging on to it. And so it excites me because I'm excited to eventually hopefully be one of you guys one day and like doing the same thing for the next generation.
Yeah. I love it, but let me say something to you.
Okay.
You're not the 18-year-old kid. You're our brother in Christ. Mm-hmm. You're a co-laborer. Mm. So I think that's wildly important, that the calling that God has on us, he has on you. The Holy Spirit that's within us is in you. Mm. The mind of Christ that we have is in you, the Word of God. And that's everyone who's a follower of Jesus. And so I get it. Yeah. Like, I get what you're saying, and I know that, like, you know, the younger somebody is, sometimes we don't know some things, but the older somebody is, sometimes we don't know some things.
Yeah.
And I just think when we think in those ways, that the power of the body of Christ is released in a remarkable way. Mm-hmm. And I love what you're saying. If we do this right, we all fade away.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, who cares, like, who's in charge and what our titles are outside of Christ? Everything else is just the structure of a family, you know. But I would want every generation to hear that. Like, no, this is not, you're not saying this, so I'm not trying to correct you, but I don't want other people thinking I'll get my turn one day. I'm like, no, you're up to bat right now.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to hell. Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
And so I love it when we lock arms together like that just to get that job done. So that's cool.
That is awesome. That's cool. You know, before we wrap up, Rick, I want to, like, ask you this, like, as a father.
Okay.
Your son is part of all this.
Yeah.
How does that feel as a father?
Yeah. Well, I've been, you know, a huge advocate of all the investment we make in young leaders over the last, you know, 10 years I've been working with them and with kind of the whole process, and seeing students come into those internships and residency and have their lives transformed by it. And I'm just so passionate about it. But to see your own son go through it, you know, is a the impact is even is just 10x more.
Yeah.
You know, and to see him mature and grow as a man and as a follower of Jesus and develop a passion for the Word of God and a passion for the gospel and a passion for people to know the gospel, it's just been a thrill. It's been an incredible thrill.
Yeah. It's so awesome. Yeah. And, you know, kind of like I touched on earlier about the power of prayer, Jeff, if you want to talk about those 30 and 30 prayer calls a little bit.
Yeah, something we want to invite everybody to be a part of is we do a 30 and 30 prayer call. There's several slots throughout the day. It's usually 6 a.m., noon, and then what time at night?
8:30.
8:30 at night. And we do them over Zoom. And guys, let me just say, like, I think this is one of the most powerful things that we do. We started this a year-ish ago. Rick really had the burden for it. It's like, guys, we need to, you know, it felt like we had hit a little bit of a wall when it came to, like, new leaders and new opportunities. And he's like, I just think we should pray. Well, we start praying, and man, did that wall come down. And, like, literally, there's another campus coming.
Yeah.
God moved in the hearts of leaders to step up. And so we have just looked and said that Jesus says this. He says, you look into the harvest field. And he says, when you look in the harvest field, you pray. You don't pray for strategy. You don't pray for money. And you don't pray for philosophy. You pray for workers. Mm-hmm. And so we just said, let's start praying that God would put in the hearts of young people to be trained up. Put in the hearts of people who are in the marketplace already, maybe to transfer over into a ministry world. Put into the hearts of people to be a part of a campus launch team. Put in the hearts of people to lead a small group or whatever it is at one of the campuses. And we have seen God start to answer those prayers. It's a prayer that he commanded, that he loves, and that he will answer. And so we've just become passionate about it. I was talking to the staff at Bath about a month ago. We have some open staff positions that are, we kind of really, really need people to fill them in right now. And I said to them, I said, we need to pray passionately. Like, we're interviewing, we got resumes on job sites. I mean, I'm like, we just need to ask God to do this. So I would really, really want to invite you guys to be a part of that. I think it's one of the most unifying things we do as a church. It's fun to pray with people from other campuses. You kind of get a vibe of the other campuses a little bit. And it's simple. Like, you can jump on at lunchtime at work or before you go or in the evenings. And that's why we kind of set them up that time, kind of make a spot for everybody. But we would love to see more and more of us doing that. And I think it'll give you an ownership and a vision for what I call the movement of Grace Church. It's the 10 locations pushing forward together and the young people being raised up and all those kind of things. But we'd love for you to do it and to be a part of it.
Yeah. And Dan, is there anything that, you know, the people of Grace can be praying for, you know, either the movement of Grace or the Norton campus or anything in specific that comes to mind?
Specifically, I think we could always use more young leaders.
Yep.
I think we're asking God to show us where he wants us to plant next campuses, right? And so workers that would be willing to be a part of that harvest is part of that. Our hope at the Norton campus is that somewhere in the next 2-3 years, we'll be in that spot. We're sending out some people to plant another campus. We hope to continue to multiply. That's our hope. So we hope to have another baby.
That's awesome. So for anyone watching right now, the link or the way to find those prayer calls will be in the description of the video. You can also just message us on Instagram, email us, whatever it might be, get a hold of us. Also, if you have any questions or anything that you'd like us to talk about or hear more about, or if this episode really touched your heart and you're like, I want to take next step, I want to go all in, I want to serve in some way, reach out to us. We would love to help you in that. So if no one has anything else to add, that is a wrap. So, thank you.